It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Friday, November 18th, 2022. In our marine weather forecast, we're going to continue to have those windy conditions. High pressure remains across our area through the weekend. Offshore wind persists through Saturday with gusty east winds through coastal gaps. A decaying front will cross our waters on Sunday night or Monday, followed by a more organized front on Tuesday night. That could bring us some rain. Small craft advisory in effect through this afternoon. We have east winds today, 10 to 15 knots, gusting to 25, becoming 20 knots in the afternoon. Wind waves from the east, 2 feet high at 5 seconds apart. West swells 3 feet at 10 seconds apart. And today we're going to talk a little bit about melting ice in the Arctic and the effect that is having on vessels there and governments that have borders along the Arctic region. But first, a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We have 3 inbound vessels, we have 8 outbounders, and we have 7 vessels anchored in the river near Astoria. Our first arrival in the river is the Tomini Bravery, arriving from South Korea. She's headed for the Rice Island Anchorage near Astoria. She'll be picking up wheat eventually upriver. She should be in the anchorage by about 2:30 this afternoon. The Pacific Spirit is arriving from Mexico, headed for Longview's anchorage. She's going to be picking up petcoke in Portland eventually, and she will pass Astoria around 6 p.m. and anchor in Longview part of the way to Portland at about 9:30 p.m. The Copenhagen Commerce is arriving from Anchorage, Alaska, headed for Vancouver. She's picking up a cargo of bentonite clay, and she will pass Astoria around 8 p.m. She'll be in Vancouver by about 2 a.m. on Saturday morning. In our outbounders, we have the UBC Tarragona, a container ship leaving Portland at about 5 a.m. She could pass Astoria outbound around 11 a.m. The USNS Guadalupe is leaving Portland. She's a military sea lift command vessel leaving the shipyard at Swan Island. She's leaving at about 5:30 a.m. and will pass Astoria outbound at about 11:30 this morning. The CSL Tecumseh is a bulk carrier leaving the U.S. gypsum plant at Rainier. Left about 6 a.m., probably passing Astoria outbound around 9:30 this morning. The Beauty Jasmine is leaving Portland. I think she came in with urea on board. Leaving around 12:30 p.m., she could pass Astoria outbound around 6:30 this evening. The Indiana Highway is leaving Portland. Toyota's on board. Leaving around 2:30 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 8:30 p.m. The SM Ningbo is leaving Portland. She's a container ship. Leaving the port of Portland at about 3:30 p.m., she could pass Astoria outbound around 9:30 p.m. The Pan Unity is leaving Kalama, corn, soy, or wheat on board there. Leaving around 11 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 4 a.m. on Saturday morning. And the UBC Tampa is leaving Portland. She's got potash on board. Leaving the port of Portland around midnight, passing Astoria outbound around 6 a.m. on Saturday. And in our Astoria anchorages, we have these vessels awaiting orders: the Blue Bosporus, the Glory Prosperity, the RB Maya, the Girasol River, the Kosmar, the Sound Young, and the W Arcturus. And if you'd like to see the ship schedule online, you can find it on my website at shipreport.net, along with a podcast of this program and many others. You can also find the ship schedule on and a link to the podcast on the Ship Report Facebook page. Well, today I'd like to talk with you about the Arctic region of our planet and some issues that its rapidly melting ice is highlighting for shipping and for countries that border Arctic waters. The Arctic region of the world has previously been continuously icebound to the point that it has been the province of mostly a few hardy ice-breaking ships and not much else in terms of human intrusion at the very top of the world. But now, because of melting ice, ships are crossing the top of the world, so to speak, traveling through the famed and once mythic Northwest Passage with increasing frequency. It's an area that used to be covered with thick ice even in summer. Now vast swaths of it are ice-free, or at least ice-free enough. Ships are using it because it's shorter and faster than other routes, making cargo ship voyagers shorter and less expensive because less fuel is needed. And fuel is the greatest expense a ship has, other than paying the people who operate it. I saw an article on gcaptain.com this week about an aspect of this evolving situation that involves the Canadian government. Apparently, that government does not have the technology in place to adequately track foreign vessels that are traveling through its waters, and they've never had to worry about it before. So Canada is in the uncomfortable position of not being able to see who is traveling along one of its maritime borders and a huge, long border of its country. So surveillance needs have increased, but the technology to do it is not yet in place. Now, this situation poses national security implications for Canada and potentially the U.S., but it also brings up another issue that's critical to the increase in ship traffic in Arctic waters, and that is search and rescue. Search and rescue resources are also few and far between in remote areas of the Arctic. So it's still the Arctic, it's still cold and remote, and largely uncharted in terms of depth and underwater obstructions, but ships are going there anyway. Now, by comparison, right here on the Lower Columbia where we live, we kind of live a charmed life in terms of U.S. Coast Guard access in an emergency. People who get in trouble nearby here can ideally see a Coast Guard helicopter in a few minutes. Such speedy rescues are just not widely available in the Arctic across what is a huge area to patrol. So what it means is that if a ship gets in trouble there, it could be virtually impossible for rescue personnel to reach them in time. So there's another evolving situation. How do we have rescue resources available in sufficient quantities to serve those areas? Arctic waters are a focus now because they're warming faster than the rest of the planet. And that means, along with melting icebergs, glaciers, and pack ice, increased vessel traffic for merchant vessels, military ships, and even cruise ships that are venturing further north than ever before. In fact, the number of Arctic voyages has more than tripled in recent years, and there's no reason to expect that that trend will not continue. Arctic waters are also sensitive areas for wildlife and seafood stocks that have never faced such intrusions before. In terms of national security for both the U.S. and Canada, the war in Ukraine has increased tensions and put more focus on the Arctic region. This has caused the U.S. to enter into a cooperative agreement with Canada to modernize the North American Aerospace Defense Command for Arctic surveillance. The Canadian government is also planning new radar stations, aircraft, and other infrastructure, but that won't happen overnight. The government is also planning to replace aging icebreakers that patrol the region. Canada and the U.S. both have aging icebreakers, very few of them, and that limits their reach to Arctic regions. About 3/4 of Canada's coastline, by the way, is in the Arctic, more than 100,000 miles of it. That makes Canada the second largest nation bordering the Arctic region, and Russia is the first. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.